Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the motherfucking Joe Howard Show!
Dave Samra.
Joe Howard.
Welcome to the motherfucking Joe Howard Show, buddy.
I think it's motherfucking Joe Howard Show. I'm hitting the big time.
That's it, man. See what happens, bro?
No worries.
So anyway, I think I got this thing fixed. Me and Dave were just trying to do the show like three times, but of course, you know, it's supposed to be easy.
We were talking in the breeze.
Yeah, we were shooting the shit, but like I said, a lot of people, they got questions for Dave Samra, so I'm doing this. Okay, so first of all, we're going to go into a question I get inboxed to me probably 5-6 times a week. What does Dave Samra do? What does he do? I don't know what he does, but he's all over the fucking place.
The question is, what don't I do, bro?
All right, well, I mean, I'm going to leave the floor open for you for about a minute and just explain real quick what you do.
All right. So I subscribe to the theory of seven streams of income, and I'm working on seven streams of income. Currently, probably like four or five. The main one that I have, dude, where I make the bulk of my money is I own a marketing and PR firm. Spent 20 years in entertainment marketing. Transfer that over to what I do now, not in entertainment, but in housewares and a few other things like Suzuki's. Marine is one of my clients. And just help them get the products in front of consumers. That's first. Second is I have an Amazon FBA business, which means I sell products online through Amazon. They take care of all the fulfillment, customer service, returns, all that stuff. Nice. Third is why I've been so busy the last few months is a program called ClickFunnels. Mm-hmm. And it's basically, again, not to get too deep in the weeds, but it's affiliate marketing. And I basically sell other people's products through these landing pages, ClickFunnels. And I'm going to start sort of promoting it a bit more on my Facebook page and people can see it. So,
all right, cool.
But that's pretty much.
Cause when they ask me, Dave, I just say that you're selling drugs. You're in LA, you're a kingpin. I mean, come on. You're out every show.
Well, that's,
you're in Vegas every other fucking minute.
That's the truth then.
Okay. Also, like, you know, shooting stuff and like, we're not going to talk politics cause that's stupid.
No.
But we do agree on. That I don't know, and a lot of people have been like giving me hate emails, but dude, I don't give a shit because I just never liked guns. I just don't like them.
Yep.
But anyway, bottom line is, you know, my little cousin was at the last shooting in Parkland.
Yep. Parkland.
And you were in Vegas, and I actually was driving across the country, dude. I'm not even shitting. I was at this place called the Cattle Ranch Inn, and I was like in Oklahoma or some shit. And I was, you know, man, I just sleep with the TV on in the hotel. I don't know why I always do that. But anyway, dude, I woke up to see what's going on in Vegas, knowing that you're at this place. I'm like, oh, you got to be fucking kidding me. And jumped on the phone with you as you and your brother were getting separated. But you were, I saw the footage of you like hurtled over these people running out. And I was tripping, man.
That's a good word. It was a trip, dude. I'll give you some background if you're into it. But this was the third Route 91 that I had gone to.
Yeah.
And again, I'll give you a little more details because I'm not a religious guy, even though I was, you know, raised Roman Catholic in church every week and all that shit. But I'm kind of a spiritual person. I believe in shit happens for a reason. So a bunch of things sort of happened this year for a reason. So the last few years I've gone, this year I was seeing a girl. And as October approached, we broke up in August. So I was kind of scrambling because I had the tickets, which were expensive. I had the room, which was expensive. I had my flight. So I called my brother and said, hey, dude, come out. Everything's set up. Just got to get a flight out here. So he did. So the entire weekend, we had been sort of in the, you know, deep in the crowd, close to the stage, having a good time, meeting people, just a blast. It's one of the greatest festivals, dude, that there, I don't know if I'll ever have it again, but it was one, it's one of the 3 years I've gone. It's probably the best festival I've ever gone to.
Yeah,
so,
my sister goes. She loves it.
That's right.
So you guys actually,
met up with her last year.
That's right. She
Go. Joe and Renee.
She was going to go, and she told me, like, that's where they were hanging out last time, exactly where all that stuff was going down.
The crazy part about it, dude, is where I sort of met them last year off to that side of the stage is where a lot of, again, for lack of a better word and not to be morbid, but the kill zone where the stage jets out into, like, you know, the stage into the crowd's like kind of a, you know, makes a T, I guess you'd call it, and then there's fencing so people can't get to the performers. But unfortunately, that just leaves you sort of bottlenecked in when the shooting started that people couldn't get out, you know, or made it a little more difficult.
Yes. I mean, dude, I tell you, man, some of the first footage that we were seeing, I mean, those bullets are ripping through people. Those are just absolute, those are bullets used in Vietnam.
Dude, I'll say this, man. Again, I'm not a gun guy. I don't mind shooting guns in a range. I don't mind that at all. I'm not an anti Second Amendment guy. I'm not an anti-gun guy, but I am anti, and I catch, like, I'm an idiot, dude. I get into arguments with people about it, and then I sit back and I'm like, why do I even bother? Because you're never going to change people's minds. But I just listen to the doctors, dude, and especially from 91 and even the Parkland doctors. And the doctors at 91 were saying they see injuries from gunshots all the time. And this was unlike anything they see, because these bullets go in, and you know, they're not meant to kill. As a person, I talked to a guy, and he's a gun guy, and he is even for, like, more restrictions on guns. And he's a gun guy. He owns about 250-something guns.
Yeah.
And he said these bullets are not designed to kill. They're designed to hurt and injure. So when you get struck by one of these bullets, it goes in your body, and it rips shit apart. It's not a clean kill or a clean shot.
Yeah.
And these doctors have all come out and said they knew this was something out of the ordinary because they've seen gunshot wounds, and this shit was beyond anything ever seen. So
Dave, I got a friend named Doreen, and her little niece was in there too, and she's having a tough recovery, man. I mean, she got I think her leg got shattered. I mean, it was just horrible, man. I just gotta say, man, I'm happy when I called you that you picked up, dude, and it was crazy. I know it's been, dude. Honestly, you know, like, a lot of people are having a hard time recovering from that. You know what I mean? Mentally, a lot.
Yeah. Oh, sure.
Also, dude,
I mean, I had a tough couple of months, and I was drinking a lot, you know, because it was harrowing, dude. You know, and again, we can get more into detail, and I'll explain. I want to tell you about how, why shit happened for a reason. But, you know, I also, you know, I have to stay away from things with a 9 and a 1 in it, apparently, because, you know, I was less than a mile from 9/11 in 2001. So not directly impacted by buildings falling. I actually watched the stuff from my roof of my office building, but you know, I got trapped in the city, and that was another harrowing experience. But this experience was unlike, you know, anything that I've ever gone through. So,
Dave, how many people were injured? 500 and something, right?
Yeah, it was over 500 some people. 58 dead, at 59 including the asshole. We don't really talk about him.
Yeah, no one really knows anything about it still. And I know you get upset when I always say, hey, what the fuck happened? No answer still. And it's completely out of the
media. Well, here's the thing. New York Times just did a great thing last week or 2 weeks ago. They got all of the video footage, the surveillance footage, and pieced it all together. It's about a 5-minute video. If you go on to New York Times, you just punch in Vegas shooting surveillance footage, New York Times, it'll come up. It shows the guy over the course of the week or a week and a half, coming and going out of Mandalay, sitting at the tables or at the video poker gambling, at the bar drinking, tipping people, just an ordinary dude. And then coming in and out through the valet with his car, with equipment. And now, see, here's the thing. I love these people, man. The Route 91 survivors, they're literally my family. Like, I go to Vegas now. I don't know how many times I've been to Vegas since the shooting. And I met up with people I had never met these people. I met them on the Facebook support group. And I never hung out with them. But through the shooting, became friends with them and now hang out with them. And I've got, you know, just first time show up at a restaurant or a bar or wherever and meet them, concert. And we're hanging out and we're friends for life. Cool. And a lot of them are like, oh, this, you know, this Mandalay did this. Why didn't they do this? How come they had all these cases? Well, this dude was a known VIP, and he was coming in and out. Not unusual for a high roller to come into the service elevator with bags.
Yes.
One day he came with five bags. A couple days later he came with five bags because he was leaving and coming and going. So I can't blame these bellhops and these fucking baggage. It just happened, dude.
Do you want to hear my theory?
Yeah, okay. I'll hear your theory.
This is it. And I swear, I just have a feeling that this is that I'm 100% dead on. Okay, so there's been a lot of talk about this guy. You know, he's had a lot of money, and he's been into guns, all this stuff. And he's rich, and the guy had airplanes, all kinds of shit. Anyway,
yeah.
I heard that he was in on the FBI side, meeting someone at the casino and doing a gun exchange. And I think it went wrong, and I think the wrong people got in that room and just started. Once it went wrong, they killed him and just started firing out the window on that crowd. And I think,
all right, dude, but
I think it was ISIS, dude. I think it was a gun.
If you believe that,
yeah.
Watch this video. Watch New York Times surveillance video.
Yeah, but did they have
what they put
him
together.
Going in and out? They have no.
Yes, in and out, dude. He was with nobody.
Okay, but
he was sitting alone for hours and hours at the gaming tables.
Yeah, but they have all the footage in the room. They said that there was three people in the room when that shit was going on.
Mm.
If there was
three people in that room, the firefight against the cops would have been a little bit more than what it was. So, but anyway, I don't want to get too deep in the woods with that shit, man. It is what it is. I am not like I am one of the me and my brother, and the two girls that I've become. You know, I'll be friends for life. They're tattooed on my arm because we helped get them out of there safely. We're not really big on that shit. We are just focusing on sort of taking every day. Like, we've been given a new lease on life, dude. And that really was a turning point for me that I am like, I'm going to take more risks. I'm going to do what I want to do when I want to do it. I'm going to Vegas. I'm coming home. I'm going back to Vegas. I'm flying over to Charlotte to hang out with some, Danny Perinello, man. And we're going to go to a 3-day country music festival. And then I'm going to Nashville because my friends, the girls from Vegas who worked at Redneck, they closed that bar down in Vegas. They're opening one in Nashville on Broadway. They're working there now. I'm going to see them. So I'm just living my life like there's no, I'm getting a tattoo, probably going to get it in Vegas when I'm there in 2 weeks. I'm inside of my arm that says, it's a Tim McGraw song, Live Like You Were Dying. And that's basically how I live my life now, dude.
No, I get it, man. And a lot of people think like, they see you out and every minute with a different girl or whatever at a different event.
Yeah.
And a lot of people want to know when your arm is going to fall off from holding that camera. Actually, people want to know when your phone is going to run out of fucking data.
I'm prepared with that. I don't even say battery because I'm prepared with, I have extra, I have the extra battery pack sleeve that pops in on my phone. So
perfect.
I'm good. Well, and actually, I'll tell you that story, dude, because that ties into 91. Like, everyone's phone was dead. Mine was fully juiced because I had the extra battery pack that I slip on. And so everyone was using my phones to call their families and shit. But I just want to circle back really quick, dude, and I won't take too much time talking about it. But so everything happened for a reason. So the girl and I broke up. Chris came. We had been in the weeds of the crowd having a great time. On the night of the shooting, the guy that went on before Jason Aldean where the shooting started was a guy by the name of Jake Owen. He's got a great new tune out where he remixed. It's pretty cool. You should check it out. You might like it. Jake Owen, it's called When I Was Jack and You Were Diane. He redid John Mellencamp's Jack and Diane to a degree, and John Cougar loves it. So check it out. But anyway, so he was on stage, and I met these two girls. Chris had gone to get more pizza and beer. And, Chris is an angel. He's got a sweetheart of a girlfriend. They are soulmates. I'm the guy that's, talking to every girl in the building every time, everywhere I go. And anyway, so he went to go get pizza and beer. And I'm talking to these two girls. And Jake Owen ends. And I'm like, let's go meet up with my brother. I'll buy you some drinks, whatever. And they had said to me later on, a few months later, that it's weird because they had just got done saying before they met me, they loved their spot because we were literally like 10 rows from the stage. And they were like, we are not moving. But for some reason, when I said, come with me, let's go buy drinks, they came with me. So again, everything happens for a reason. So we went, got drinks, met my brother. The girls had to go to the bathroom. We took them to the bathroom. On the way out of the bathroom, which was halfway back from the stage,
yeah,
we were coming out of Athens and Jason Aldean started. So I grabbed the one girl's hand, started running into the crowd, and my brother and the other girl were like, no, let's hang back a little bit more. We'll have more room to dance, you know, and have a better time not in a bigger crowd.
Yeah.
And I was a little annoyed, but turns out it was probably the right move. So we were probably like 30 rows from the stage, you know, not in the kill zone area, but, you know, still in a dangerous area, because I found out later that a girl about 100 feet from me was shot and killed. So again, it all happens for a reason. So the shooting, the first thing, I heard six pops.
Hey, Dave.
And,
dude.
Yeah.
And listen, I'm not being unprofessional, but I kind of am. You just keep, you keep rolling with the story. I'll be right back. I'm going to piss. All right? Don't be pissed.
Yeah, no worries, man. I can, I can carry the Joe Howard show. Right, I can carry the Joe Howard motherfucking show.
Yeah, go ahead and get that. I'll be right back.
All right. So we're hanging out probably about 30 rows from the back of the stage. And we're dancing and having a good time and singing, and I hear these six pops. And immediately I know that's a gun. And the girls are looking at me like, oh, fireworks. And I just looked at my brother and I said, dude, that is not fireworks. And so we didn't really know what to do. We just kind of hanging out. We just kind of hung out again. And then the round started, like you would hear as if you would see on the news with Iraq, the constant. And I just turned and I said, we got to go. And as we were turning to run, I grabbed the one girl's hand. We're turning, running, and we all get barreled over. We all fall down. We get up, we lift people up, and we start going. Now, again, this is the third year I went, and the side we were on this year, I had noticed during the day that they created a new exit on that side. So in my mind, I knew, all right, we got to make our way to this exit. So we get up, we lift each other up, we help these girls up. And we dart towards this exit, and it's just total chaos, man. There's people falling down, people getting shot, the gunfire is going, and we make our way out onto the side street.
Yeah.
And I didn't think of it at all until later on, my brother said something like, we were running into the unknown, because I think it happened at the Bataclan in France when the Eagles of Death Metal were on, that they flushed people out on the street so that other gunmen could shoot them in the street.
Yeah.
Very lucky that didn't happen. So anyway, long story short, we get to the Hooters casino. We run in the casino. And this is the other reason why the conspiracy theories of a lot of shooters. We ran into the Hooters casino with 100 other people or more yelling, there's a shooter, there's a shooter. Now, at the same time, other people were running into the Luxor and the Tropicana and MGM and all these casinos yelling the same thing. There's a shooter in the casino. There's a shooter following us. So everyone panicked thinking there's five or six shooters.
Yeah.
So anyway, we're in Hooters, and I'm like, we think people are chasing us on the ground. So I'm like, we got to get to higher elevation. So I'm like, we'll find the elevator. We'll get up to the higher ground. So while we're waiting for the elevator, more people run in yelling shooter. So we think there's a shooter following us. So we run out the side door, which is like the employee exit. And that's where I got split up from Chris. He went right. We went left. Get outside. I realize I don't have Chris, and I'm in a panic. Phones are spotty because everyone's on their phones. So I stashed them under a truck that was there. I'm like, you know, hang out here. Let me try and find my brother. Just don't move. So I run back into the parking garage. I'm looking, running around, can't find him, can't get him on the phone. And I had to make a decision that he was okay. And that, I had to go. So I run back, get the girls, and we run towards the back of the airport where the helicopter tours are. And eventually we make our way there. I eventually get Chris on the phone. He was safe. He got pushed into some apartment building and locked down. He's got a story to tell about that, which is bizarre. Anyway, so the girls and I, we make our way to the airport. We hide out, a couple other people, long story short. The girl's brother happens to live in Vegas, comes and picks her up, gets her home safely, and I go the completely opposite direction on a strip to my friend's bar, and John Rich from Big and Rich, his bar, where I was able to hang out with my friends at the bar. So it was a harrowing experience. Long story short, you caught us running out. Because that footage, literally, the guy that was filming that was right next to us.
Yeah, I saw it. I saw it right away. And I always see it when they go to that scene. I always see it. You're wearing a white cowboy hat.
Yep. So everything happens for a reason, because if I was with the girl I was seeing for the past couple months, we would have been front row, dude. We would have been so close, because she was like, yes, let's go. And even Chris was like, yeah, well, he was cool. He was like, yeah, whatever you want to do. But like at that point, you know, there's a reason he was there, dude. He was like, him and the girl, you know, the one girl, were like, let's sit back, let's hang back. So shit happens for a reason. And like, we met those girls to kind of save them, you know, because they were in a panic. They didn't really know what to do. And we kind of like led them to safety. So
yeah,
everything happens for a reason.
I saw you shielding them, you and your brother. But,
yeah.
No, dude, that's cool. I mean, everybody loves the Samer brothers, man. We're glad you're okay. That's, It's insane. Look, man, I see, you know, obviously on Facebook, it's everybody's talking about it. Everybody's, you know, they're so passionate about stuff. And the only thing I care about, well, I can never own a gun. I'm just way too impulsive. I would literally kill people. I know that I have a very explosive temper. And if something was going, I'm not a kind of person that would ever own a gun. So, but all I care about, dude, honestly, man, is just the kids in school. And now it's, you know, you got copycats. And the problem is no one, it's just like it always is. Everybody talks shit and nothing changes. And then it happens again. It's been happening a lot. And I say this and people get so fucking mad at me. I got friends that are like diehard friends that hate me because of this. I just go, dude, there's no reason to have an AR-15 unless you're on a fucking battlefield. And that's the bottom line. I don't, because it could get into the wrong hands. I don't give a fuck if people are responsible. I mean, man, if you like to shoot it, they should have it at a range where you can go and shoot it. And you know,
leave it at the range.
Exactly. Dude. Right. There's so many things. I even posted it. You make weed legal in every state, and then you give, you know, people at the Army, at all the forces, like Army, Navy, and Air Force, Marines, their last year, really, it's kind of chill, man. You know, desk work, bullshit. Mm-hmm. Bring them back and have them do perimeters of schools for their last year. I mean, and let weed money pay it. I mean, I know people think it's stupid, but, I mean, I'm serious.
Sounds like a plan to me, dude.
But if beer companies would step up. But they won't. But if we make weed legal in 50 states, there's your money. Look at Colorado. They're fucking killing it with the weed money.
Flush with cash. I agree, man. Here's what I hate. And again, we don't have to get too deep into it. Here's what I hate. I'm very proud of our youth, dude. I'm very proud of these kids that are out marching. And I'm tired of fucking people ragging on these kids to say, oh, they're puppets. They're this. They eat Tide Pods. They do this. You know, this is the fucking youth of America. When I was fucking 17 and 18, I had a brain of my own. I could fucking cognitively think to sort of denigrate these kids and say that they're stupid and they're just puppets. It pisses me off. They're doing something because they're tired, dude. Like, the thing is, not one more. Like, hashtag not one more. Hashtag march of our lives. Like, it's time to do something, dude, because thoughts and prayers is bullshit.
No, I know.
To do not, like you said, it happens. People fucking talk about it, and they say, now's not the time to talk about it. Let's grieve over the fucking dead. Okay, well then, when is the time to talk about it? No, this is the perfect time to talk about it, man. There's shit happening. Our kids are getting killed. I went to a fucking concert to have a good time, and people are 58 people are dead.
I know.
Like,
dude.
when is the right time not, you know, to, when is the right time to talk about it? It's
Dave,
now. So,
Dave, it was almost the same shit. Like, I saw the shooting, and it said Parkland. I'm like, oh, no. And I know that my cousin goes to that school. So I called my other cousin, Ashley, and she's like, Lulu's fine. Okay. I was like, fuck it. As soon as I saw it flash across the screen, did she knew that kid?
Yep.
Did she knew that kid? There's a lot. I'm going to actually I'll probably do a show with her because there's a lot of stuff that people are being told that it's just the media's fucked.
Yeah.
Man. The media's fucked.
Well, dude,
does look like the Democrats are jumping on board, trying to make this something. That's where it's coming from, Dave. I mean,
but why wouldn't they, dude? Because they want change. Like, you know me, dude. I'm very socially liberal. I've got some conservative viewpoints. I'm a centrist. But why wouldn't they jump on it? Because in all honesty, the GOP don't want to do anything, dude, because the NRA are so – and it's not to say the Democrats got – the NRA are in some Democrats' pockets too, man. But the GOP are so deep into it where they just want the shit to go away, shove it under the rug and not have to deal with it. And that's fucking not acceptable. That's why the fucking shit these kids are doing – and I don't care who's helping them organize it. These kids are at the forefront. And there's this one kid, this David Hogue, who's getting crucified and vilified, saying, oh, he's from California. He's not from Parkland. He didn't go to the school. He's a puppet. He's a fucking actor. This whole thing with the crisis acting bullshit – I hate it, dude. Yeah. This kid is legit from Parkland, fucking Florida, and lived through it and lost.
Kid,
you know what I mean?
He didn't even go to school that day.
No, dude. I
know.
But so that, and even the girl, Gonzalez, the dude up in Maine saying shit because she's a lesbian and like, give me a break, dude. And then you have fucking Rick Santorum on fucking CNN the other night, basically saying, oh, why are these kids marching? Why don't they learn CPR? Do something to help your community.
I know. A lot of
dude,
people are being
they
stupid
are doing
in
something,
Discord.
Man.
A lot of people are being stupid.
They want, yeah. It's maddening, dude. It's fucking maddening. And again, I'm not trying to take your fucking all your guns away. Certain guns do not belong in your hands. You know what I mean? Like, I don't care if you want to say, it's not the gun that kills. Why are we the only nation in the fucking world that this happens consistently, dude? And then you get, it can happen with a knife like in Japan. Well, guess what? I'd rather take my chance with a fucking dude and a knife than a dude that can sit fucking 100 or so yards away or more and spray bullets. Like, it's just not, it's not smart to say shit like,
my thing is this, and I say this, people get mad at me again. Dude, when the Constitution was written,
yes, and, go.
You know, they were talking about fucking muskets, dude. They were
muskets.
Bare arms. I know, you know, shit's evolved. I get it. And, dude, I don't hate guns. My friend Dave Zink, he's a sharpshooter. He's one of the best shooters in the country. He trains people in the special forces, and this dude's legit. Dave loves his guns, and he's a responsible gun owner, and I know a lot of people like that, and I'm not saying anything about them. I'm not judging anybody for owning a gun, because now they're doing the shit where you red light your house, basically, like, gun free, and it's stupid because people, there are guns in the wrong hands. I've seen people get killed. I've been shot at by gang members. I've seen people get killed in front of me with guns. I personally don't like guns. If there's a little pussy running around with a gun, then he could take my life. But if he didn't have a gun, I like my chances. And that's what I don't like about guns.
Right.
And that's why I don't want people to get rid of guns, because there are bad fucking people that do home invasions and want to rape and kill your fucking family.
Yeah.
So there's so much we got to talk about as far as guns go, and I definitely don't have the answers. It gives me a headache, dude. It stresses me the fuck out. Because I do have friends with young kids in school. My kids are out of school, thank God. And this world is turning into a fucking gutter. And it just seems like this, and I'll say this, and then I don't really want to talk about it anymore. Dude, in jail, if you hurt a woman or a child, you get fucked.
Oh, yeah.
You get your fucking justice. But now out here, it seems like people don't give a fuck about kids, and they care more about their guns. And that's where I got a big problem.
I was just gonna say, dude. The final statement on this topic is, it bothers me when people care more about their guns. And I don't have kids, but I care about the fucking youth of our fucking nation, of the world. It bothers me when you care more about your fucking gun than a child, dude. Dude, when Sandy Hook happened, if that didn't change anything, we're all fucked, because little fucking fucking kindergarten kids were fucking killed. 22 fucking kids under the age of 5, I believe. That's nasty, dude. How do you not make a change? And then I'll end with the same thing you just said, dude. When you care more about your guns, the Constitution is great, man. It was written at a time when we were forged as a nation. But if we strictly adhere to that document, women would not be allowed to vote. Blacks would not be what were they considered? They were 2/3 human, basically. Like, come on, man. We evolve as a fucking group of people. So. Well, you can rewrite this document. You know what I'm saying? Well, I'll just leave it at that.
Yeah, but people get personal. Like, oh, they're coming for our guns, dude. Come on, man. My thing is,
no
like
one's
this.
Coming for your guns.
I live in Pennsylvania, dude. This is everybody. You can fucking conceal carry here. You don't even have to conceal. You can wear a gun on your fucking hip like the Wild Wild West in Pennsylvania. You just can't go into like a bank or a post office, blah blah blah. But you could literally
or a casino.
In the grocery store, I seen a dude with a gun on his hip. You know what? We don't really have that problem here. Everybody's armed.
Yeah.
In Arizona, one of the lowest crime rates in the country because everybody carries guns.
Right.
So that's why shit's less likely to happen. And like I said, if we want to do it smart, we go into the ghettos. We get all the fucking guns out of the ghettos and out of the wrong hands. That's phase one. We get our National Guard in there. We fucking strip all those guys down, and we have, remember when we used to drive and your beeper would go off when you're speeding? You had the radar thing? We have something like that where if someone has a gun, you're alerted by some kind of alarm or detection system. I always think about it. I always think about it. But bottom line, look, man, I'm happy that you made it through fucking Vegas. I'm happy that my cousin made it through Parkland. But the shit's just too close to fucking home now.
It's got to stop, dude. It's got to fucking stop. I mean, it's 20, you know, it started basically with Columbine, and it's continued and it's escalated. And yeah, you know what? It's not just mass shootings. We have a gun problem in this country. We're the only nation. There's shit online you can find that we are, you know, by far we have, this country has so many guns, and people go, oh, there's more crime in Chicago. Yeah, well, let's focus. Nobody wants to focus on that shit. You know what I mean? Like,
I know.
It definitely gets lost in
well,
the.
Dave,
in,
I don't care too. I'll say, man, it's the fucking video games, and it's psychotropic drugging too, and it's a lack of parenting, well, and that's just the way it is, man. Back in the day, man, you don't even have two parents home. Now two parents have to fucking break their ass just to make it. They don't know what their kids are doing. They don't know.
Dude,
they don't know
I,
their kids are fucking shooting on those games. And dude, those games, it just destimulizes you. I think
hey, dude, I never in a million years having, you know, grown up listening to metal and people saying, oh, metal is the cause of the violence and this shit happening and the murder and the stuff. And I never in a million years thought that I would say something like, I think we might want to look at some kind of shit, but like the video games, because it's definitely escalated from when we were playing video games as teenagers and shit. Like those shooter point of view games, that's fucking real shit. Like that shit is almost fucking real. And it desensitizes kids, just like porn had desensitized the youth to think how they should treat women. These video games do desensitize people to think, oh, getting shot with a gun is nothing. You know what I mean? Or I can pull a gun and it's nothing. And like I talked to a friend of mine who's a cop, and when he comes up against somebody with a gun and they're holding it sideways, they love that shit because they're like, that's the most fucking inaccurate way to hold it. Like, you're not going to be accurate shooting a gun sideways because that's how you hold it in the video game. You know what I mean?
We definitely
have to take a look at everything. But you're like, the drugs for sure. We're a nation of fucking just pops and pills. We have the fucking, again, I never thought I'd say it, but these point of view shooting games desensitizes kids to think it's not a big deal.
I want to say one thing before I forget because I'm super forgetful. There's a thing on YouTube you can watch. It's called Making a Killing, and it's about psychotropic drugging and how it just tells the whole story of it, and it's a big fucking problem. And they want to just control every emotion with a pill, but it's become a situation where these kids are having breakdown points because this shit's poison, and it doesn't help. I don't give a fuck what anybody says, dude. I've been on all that shit. I'm bipolar as you can be. And I've been on all that shit, and it is horrifying. It's bad for your body. It doesn't work. It's patchwork, dude. It's a fucking smokescreen. I'm telling you, it's horrible.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Anyway, there's. I just want to wrap it up, but I just want.
Well, I want to bring up one. I want to bring up a topic. I want to bring up a topic.
Okay.
Because I just saw this flash across my computer. Again, I'm a pretty evolved male. I'm not really a sexist or a chauvinist, but. Jesus Christ. Have you seen the latest school teacher having sex with a 13-year-old?
No, she's hot.
27-year-old teacher in Arizona?
Yeah.
I mean, this chick is gorgeous, dude.
That's crazy.
27 years old, and she's exchanging naked pictures with a 13-year-old and giving oral sex in her car for a month and a half.
God damn, dude.
I mean, dude, you got to just do a Google search on Arizona teacher sex 13-year-old.
I know,
this
man.
Chick is unbelievable, man. And again, I'm not
she'll
like
get no time, though. She'll get no time. But if it was a guy or a girl, dude,
oh, for sure. For sure, for sure.
I remember,
but again,
I'll just tell you something funny. A long time ago, I was in the movie theater, and there was the movie Twilight was out. And it was in the theater at the same time as a Hannah Montana movie. So these ladies, they were my age and they were in line to Twilight moms, all this shit. So I just went up to them. I'm like, listen, man, if I was standing right across the hall over here watching this fucking Hannah Montana, Miley Cyrus movie, and I had a sign saying I'm a fucking Hannah Montana dad, like whatever, I'm a creepy motherfucker. But you guys
Absolutely.
Think you guys are cougars over here with the Twilight shit. I'm like, dude, it's such a fucking double standard, man. It's hilarious. I mean,
I mean, again, dude, I like to, you know, this may sound stupid again to say, but I like to think I'm a pretty evolved male and treat women with respect because my mother and father would kick the shit out of me. But it's crazy, dude. Like, again, I can't wrap my head around it, man. Like, this chick is unbelievable. And it's like, obviously, how does this keep happening, dude? Like, every fucking month you see a hot chick with a 13, 14, 15.
Now they have their teacher's email. And you can
crazy,
ask
dude.
Your teacher stuff. You could IM your teacher about stuff. And then you could just get this conversation sideways. Because, you know, we're thinking about fucking 24/7. And, you know, some 27-year-old, her fucking husband probably treats her like shit. And she's having fantasies about young boys. But again, if it was a fucking male teacher having fantasies about young girls, the motherfucker's dead.
And the other thing, not to sound crass, but like, we didn't have teachers that looked like any of these, man. I'm sorry, we didn't.
No, we had some cute teachers, dude. I'll tell you who's cute as shit. Miss Mishney was cute. Miss Bandola was cute. And Miss Jasonovich. Dude, I went back to the school. I saw Miss Jasonovich.
Yeah.
She had her hair cut short. She looked fucking amazing.
Hmm. I was like, dude, you got to see these teachers nowadays. Are fucking, these teachers nowadays are models, dude. I'm sorry, but it's crazy, dude.
Dave, anything you want to say to Facebook land?
Just keep an eye out. I'm going to help you all make some money eventually, very soon. All
right, cool, man. Anybody you miss? Anybody you want to say something a little special to?
Yeah, but I won't.
All right, cool.
It's lucky we're doing this now on my first Jack Daniels and not about six in, because I would say the name, but I think people can guess who I'm talking about.
Yeah, dude, I miss you guys, and I've reached out and whatever. It doesn't matter.
Yeah, it's all good. We don't have to talk about it. But I gotta look back. But did we see White Lion in the spring or the fall when we went to go fucking meet them?
Was that the spring or the fall, dude?
It was the spring, so it's like coming up around the time we went to see them at Things from England.
Yeah, I get pictures posted up from years ago. Hey, dude, honestly,
30 fucking years ago, man.
I'm coming out there for a wedding next month. The 11th or the 16th.
When are you coming?
I gotta try to get.
I'll be in Vegas.
On. I know you will. That's true.
I'll be in Vegas.
Well, listen, we got. I'll be in Vegas, where you can at least give my paperwork back to me.
Yeah. No. You come in when?
I come in the 11th.
This part of the show, people are gonna love. The 11th to the what?
16th.
16th. All right, I'm home on the 16th. I fly in from Vegas on the 16th, so maybe on that day, we'll just meet at the airport. All
right, man. Sounds good, brother.
But,
hey, man, listen, dude. Good talking to you. You're still alive.
You too, man.
And we didn't talk about politics, which is amazing.
Yeah.
And
our
president's doing an amazing job. And let's just wrap it up, brother. All right, man. Well, good talking to you, Dave.
I thought we were going to end on a high note.
I'm just fucking with you, man. All right, dude. I know. Have a good night, man.
All right, man. You too. Good talking with you, brother.
You too. And thanks for babysitting my bike for me.
Yeah, dude. Thank you.
All right, David. Take care, buddy.
All right, bro. Talk to you. Bye. Later.